Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Baker Turtle here, back again, once again, with another episode of the Baker Turtle Podcast, and we are at episode 69. Nice. Yeah, I know, guys, everybody, it's been a long journey, over 100 episodes, but this is, you know, as a solo episode where I'm just talking to you guys, one-on-one, mano y mano, you know how I mean? It's been 69, so I'm up there, and honestly, I don't really know what to talk to right now. It's been a couple of weeks since I released a podcast episode, and I've been trying to keep these a little more regular, but it's hard to talk about, you know, to think about what to talk about when I'm just so busy all the time, and I don't want to get too personal about things and talk about work, and it's just something so, you know, selfish and not relatable. I try to keep it very generic so that you guys can relate and, you know, want something to listen to. But we are here. You know, it is Veterans Day, November 10th. It's actually my dad's birthday. And, you know, actually I haven't spoken to the guy in over a year. Probably coming up on 2 years now. I don't know. Been a long time, but, you know, that's a whole story in and of itself. But you know, I'm here just chilling, and I want to bring an episode out to you guys and just kind of update about the life and probably touch up on some topics that can pique my interest. You know, I still work for the after-school program, which takes up a lot of my time and takes up a lot of my thoughts and motivation and everything about my goals, and it shapes my, you know, my thinking and everything. So I'll probably, you know, touch up on a few things there, but I kind of want to just talk about, you know, what it means to, you know, just to be a good person, to be nice, and you know, to be giving, and probably, you know, dovetail from there, kind of tie it up with, you know, Veterans Day and everything, and how selfless of an act that is, you know, to be a veteran, to give your life for your country and what that even means. But, you know, I have some songs to play for you guys, and we'll take our breaks. We'll, you know, we'll shoot the shit and all that. But first, and, you know, before anything else, got to plug my shit. So if you guys want to listen to more episodes and you want to help a brother out, you know, you can subscribe to the podcast. I'm Baker Turtle on Spotify. You can follow me on social medias at BakerTurtle17 at Twitter, or, well, now X, Instagram, and all that business. So we're going to get into our first song here, our first break, and it's going to be Walking on a Dream, one of my favorites, just nice, chill, just, you know, vibing kind of song. And we'll be back from the break, and we'll just get right into it. But, you know, here we go.
Myself, will I see again?
All right, y'all, that was Walking on a Dream by Empire of the Sun. And, you know, the times we live in these days, it's kind of crazy. We got some wars going out. The tensions are high politically, religiously, economically, and all that stuff. And it's just, you know, I made an episode about that, speaking up on that. And I don't want to always be having episodes like that and you know, raise the anxiety and stress levels. I don't want to do that. I just want to put as much positivity as much as I can out there. And my main outlet is being a site lead for, you know, after school program. And, you know, I try to do as much good as I can for these children, these kids, and that is our future. And, you know, I humbly take up on that task. And I know that every day I fail to live up to what I know is the best I could do, but you know, I just, all I can do is try. And I know that there's some people out there who don't, you know, try as hard. And I think, as one of my coworkers said, you know, as long as we're working through love, I feel like, you know, it could do no wrong. We can do only good. And when we just focus on, you know, the love we have for humanity, for the kids out there, and what does it even mean to be a good person? And I try to be a good leader. You know, I'm a leader, I'm a boss, and I want to make sure that I, you know, do the best I can. I can raise good, you know, good staff and instill the right qualities and things like that. You know, like just having empathy for students and, you know, trying to use understanding and reason to talk to my employees, instead of, you know, being that kind of dictator kind of boss. I, you know, every day is just, you know, my chance to show what kind of a leader I am. And I try to lead through example, through love and understanding. I'm a pretty chill boss, honestly. Like I hardly say no to requests and things like that. You know, I give my point of views on things and opinions, and you know, try to think of working collaboratively with my employees. Sometimes, you know, they may not have the best ideas, but I don't try to shame people. I think shame is not a good tactic. Using fear is not a good tactic, especially when it comes to children. And that's something that I've, you know, been learning, that should avoid making threats, avoid instilling fear into the kids as a way of obedience and things like that. It's more of like showing through love of seeing the good in the student, especially like those bad students. And those bad students are always misbehaving, and I just have so much like forgiveness for children, because you know, I don't believe any child is evil or bad inherently. They're just been given the shitty end of the stick. They've been taught poorly, they've been raised poorly. The adults around them have failed them, and I just want to be that adult that shines the light on the good of them. And even the worst students, I can see the good parts of them. And so I got to point those out. And that's what I think is the cure to changing, you know, bad humans into good humans is forgiveness. You know, not a lot of times bad kids get bad reps, and adults around them just write them off automatically kind of have a short leash on them and don't give them a lot of chances and don't have a lot of forgiveness, and can make a lot of assumptions. You know, like if there's something bad that happens, they just assume that, oh, the bad kid is the one lying, or the bad kid is the one that did it, or whatever. I try to be fair and hear all sides. That's one of the main things that I do when it comes to kids, is that if there's an altercation, I try to pull each student aside individually, get their side of the story, kind of validate, you know, their perspective and say that I understand why you might feel that way. I can understand why you came to that conclusion, and I always have like a but, you know, and one of the biggest lessons I've learned when it comes to teaching humans in general, you know, whether it's children or adults, is, you know, having the good sandwich, the teaching sandwich, where you start off with something good, usually positive, probably something like highlighting something good that you see about them, or understanding the good intentions they may have had, you know, starting off that way, you know, when you take criticism, or you hear, you know, you get, you know, there's consequences or punishment, or whatever, when it starts off negative, usually it's the kid or the person or whatever will just start to dismiss everything after that, you know, because then they feel like, oh, they're not being heard. It's like, oh, this person just not even listening to me, blah, blah, blah. So, but once you start off with, you know, some good and understanding in the beginning, they're like, oh, wow, like this person actually sees my side of things. So I usually start off with that. And then I add the but, you know, I add the, you know, like, I get what you're trying to come from, but, you know, that's not how we do things. That's not the right way to go about it. Or there's better options you could do, or you could have done this, you know, try to squeeze in that little bit of criticism, the part that the person doesn't want to hear, that stings a little, you know, it hurts the ego to be told that you did something wrong. You did something, you know, not the right way, or, you know, you made some sort of error. You know, hearing that you made an error is never a good thing. So I try to, you know, have a sandwich and then end it with the sandwich, with the good part. So good, start with good, have the criticism in the middle, and then end with good. And be like, you know, but at the end, end it off with, you know, but I believe in you. I know you'll make better choices. I understand why you did that. And I look forward to you making better decisions in the future. It's always instilling that hope into someone. And, you know, I operate that way just in general. Like, and I've run into trouble, some problems and issues when it comes to like my way of being, when it comes to being nice or understanding. I get that there's such a thing as being too nice or too empathetic, too understanding, especially when people don't, you know, don't deserve that kind of understanding or whatever. But I don't know, you know, I am, you know, I guess you could say spiritual or religious or, you know, whatever in that sense. I was raised Christian. Even though I may not subscribe to all the beliefs that my parents instilled with me growing up, there's still some things that some nuggets I took from that, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff and taking the parts where I appreciate, and then leaving behind the things I feel like don't benefit me. And so I still would consider myself some sort of Christian. I revere Jesus Christ as a holy figure. Whether he was a real person, I mean, I believe he was a real person, but whether like everything that Christians believe about him, whether it's true or not, you know, it could be, to me, it makes no difference whether if he was real or a mythical person. To me, the impact personally is the same. It's just about striving to be towards that ideal. I don't think any human is perfect. Even if there was you know, theoretically a human being that was perfect one time, I'm not going to be perfect. And nobody I know is going to be perfect. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. And the difference is the aim. You know, when you shoot for the stars, you can land on the moon. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I go about things. And I try to always work through love. And sometimes people don't want you to show love to certain people. Sometimes people get upset when you're too nice to people they consider enemies. And when they see that you're being nice to someone, they take that personally for some reason. And I mean, maybe that's my error, my lack of perspective, but I don't really understand that. I don't understand why me being nice to somebody else could hurt you. Unless there's some healing you need to do on your end. Why is me being nice to somebody affecting you so much? You know, but you know, that's just a little tangent. I've run into trouble that way. But I tend to, even if the, you know, people who have wanted to inflict harm on me personally, I've been nice to them, even though, you know, some people would say they don't deserve it. I think the cure for hatred is love, and loving your enemy, and, you know, all that, you know, Christian, you know, mumbo jumbo kind of stuff. I'm a homeless romantic in that kind of sense. One of the books that changed my life the most is the book Candide, and it's about this guy who's just so overly optimistic to a fault. And I honestly should read that book again, but just, you know, sometimes I think I'm willing to be naive, because I don't know, I just feel like if everybody thought the way I did, and I don't know, it's just like, it's hard for me to articulate this, but you're never going to, it's like that saying, you're never going to believe you can do it, you're never going to do something unless you believe it's possible. And so I try to, you know, believe through my actions. I try to, you know, work through love with my actions, and I believe strongly in forgiveness, even if for the bad people. But you know, like, that's, going back to, you know, the whole school system and all that stuff, I try to give opportunities to kids when where they may be lacking. You know, I've had teachers in the past that I still remember to this day, who believed in me and believed in those other students. And, you know, it's those game changer kind of teachers. And I want to be that kind of teacher, where the kid knew, any kid knew that I never hated them. I never disliked them. I always gave them the benefit of the doubt. And, I believe that changes people when you see that someone believes in you, that can see the good in you, even though you may not see good in yourself. There's some kids out there who have like super low self-esteem. They hate themselves, and they want to, you know, even in elementary school, that's where I work at, in education, in elementary school. There's some elementary school kids that say they want to die. They want to kill themselves. They hate their lives already that young. And it's just so heartbreaking, and you know, it does bring tears to my eyes sometimes, like seeing the pain that these students are going through so young, that they don't deserve, like they just need the love, they need love. And that's, you know, what I'm here to give. But gonna end this segment on that note. We'll take another break, and we'll try to, you know, dovetail to other topics, expand on this a little bit more. But our next song, we got Some Nights by Fun. So here we go.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for. Oh, what do I stand for? What do I stand for? Most nights I don't know anymore. Stops my bones from wondering just why am I? Oh, who am I?
Yes.
All right, y'all, that is Some Nights by Fun. So, you know, just to branch off of that topic of, you know, the song, whatever, like, some nights I actually, you know, I stay up, I can't sleep. I find myself brainstorming. What ideas can I do to make these students' lives better? Like, what, I try to be creative. You know, I don't have a lot of downtime. I work two jobs. I wake up first thing in the morning. I wake up 5 a.m., 6 a.m. It's just getting ready, go to work. And then, like, I go straight from my first job, my morning job. I come home, like, literally have, like, sometimes I have a 5-10 minutes just to get ready to eat something, whatever. And then, boom, I'm off to my after school job. And then I'm there till 7 o'clock at night. And I come home, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I have time to eat, and then I lay down, I rest, you know, kind of get to unwind a little bit, read up on some news, kind of do some brainstorming activities, you know, do some leisure time a little bit, try to, you know, do some busy work sometimes. I clean up, take care of some things I need to take care of, some adult things, but, you know, it's at night when I try to think about, you know, ideas, and I take a lot of ideas from other people. I'm like an amalgamation of different ideas and put them all together into this one unique kind of individual. But like I used to work at a different after school program years ago, and it was very, very different than the one I'm at now. And, you know, I take a lot of the good ideas. You know, that's one of the best practices I do, is where I, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff. I take the good ideas and I leave behind the ones that I don't think serve me anymore. And I try to bring them over to this program, change the program for better. And, you know, I am getting a lot of praise from the teachers around, from the outside looking in. A lot of people say that the program has definitely done a 180, it's changed, and it looks a lot more organized and better than it was before. But I'm such a hard critic on myself that I know it's not perfect. I can always do better. And, you know, just to touch up on, you know, some of my failures, and I beat myself up sometimes about, I feel terrible sometimes because I fail to live up to my own expectations. You know, for example, I've been, you know, part of being a site lead for an after school program is I gotta schedule field trips. I gotta arrange these things, and I have to, you know, pick the field trips. Where are we gonna go? Who to bring? You know, that these are tough decisions. Like, what would best serve these kids? Like, is it an amusement park, or is it a museum? Is it a zoo, or is it a movie theater or a Chuck E. Cheese kind of place? Like, is it a game oriented place or a learning kind of place? You know, I just have so much on my plate that it's hard for me to keep organized. And, you know, the program I'm at, the place I'm at, it has a lot of work to do. We have a lot of tough kids. You know, we're in a tough neighborhood. A lot of my time is spent, you know, dealing with behavior issues. I have to, you know, put out so many small fires all the time that if everything just ran smoothly, then I can spend the time I wanted to come up with these creative ideas, to plan these field trips. And just for example, you know, I've been trying to plan this one field trip to the Calico Ghost Town over near Barstow. I've been there one time before. I still remember it to this day, but, you know, pieces of it are a little foggy. I just remember having a good time, and it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty neat. So I want to give these kids experiences they've never had before. Have them go to places they've never been before. And unfortunately, this trip has fallen through two times already. I've had one field trip entirely fall through because just financial situations. They don't take certain payment methods that we are limited to. And that was a little, you know, error on my part. You know, I have to make sure that these places can take certain payment types, and I got to get paperwork filled out in time. I have to get people to sign off on things, and it's very time It's a time crunch. I gotta plan it out so far in advance, like, and didn't get things turned in on time, and then it's also picking students. We have over 150 students regularly, and sometimes I can only take 75, so it's like half the school, half the program we can't take, and deciding who to go, who not to go. And it's just just tough decision after tough decision. But the thing is that, you know, what gives me hope that doesn't keep me down, and, you know, sometimes being overwhelmed with the failure and putting myself down can cause, you know, paralysis by analysis, and can cause me to not want to do things because I can't be so negative to the point where I feel like it's going to fail even before I even start. So, I have to at least try. I have to at least, you know, go for it. And like I said before, you know, if you aim for the stars, you can land on the moon. Sometimes, you know, if I'm overly ambitious, at least we can get some done. And that could be better than if I were to, you know, be under ambitious about things. It's just it's a weird balance I have to get through. And I mean, these are just life lessons in general. Like, you can apply this to anything. If you aim high, you know, you can achieve a lot. And it's about having that positive perspective so that you don't not try, you know, like the movie Little Miss Sunshine. You know, losers are the ones who don't even try. And it's not when you fail that you're a loser. Losers aren't those who fail. Those are, you know, losers are the ones who don't even try. And you know, like who is it? Wayne Gretzky, where say you miss 100% of the shots you don't make. So it's, you know, these are wise, you know, wise words to live by. And I'm just so grateful about my, you know, biological makeup, or I don't know what it is, my psychological makeup, where I have super low neuroticism. So I don't have a lot of negative emotions that bring me down. I don't get stressed easily. I work well under pressure. I know things are going to turn out. I'm very optimistic. And it's, you know, brings it back to the whole Candide book that I read. You know, it's about just always, even to a fault, like, even if things look grim and dark, and it looks like things aren't going to succeed, you know, sometimes all it takes is that positive attitude to turn it around. And, you know, sometimes things do turn out better than you expect. And I'd rather be optimistic and fail than to be having a negative perspective, which will prevent me from even trying when it could have succeeded. You know, there's a lot of, it's all about perspective, a lot about, you know, how you see the world, and just try to keep that positivity going. Whether it's, you know, whether right now you're in a tough situation, you just always believe that you can make it out. And it's sometimes just that belief. There's been scientific experiments where it's just, you know, like the whole placebo effect. Sometimes just believing something will work makes it work. Sometimes it is all about your perspective. So I mean, my piece of advice is just always be positive, always believe that it's going to turn out, you know, and that's the faith. That's, you know, that's where a lot of religious people, that's why a lot of religious people are happy and can, you know, bear through the suffering of life, because they have faith. They believe that someone is taking care of them, someone's looking down on them, that it's going to be okay, that it's going to be all right. But if you don't believe in anything, if you don't believe that there's somebody looking out after you, that the universe is fair, or anything like that, if you're not optimistic, then, you know, you kind of just can get depressed. You can wallow in your own self-pity and just, you know, be a victim mentality and just always blame everybody else. But that's not going to change your circumstances. You know, life ain't fair. So why just, what good is it if you start blaming the world for your problems? If you just, why not just get off your ass, take on the responsibility of the world, of your own life, and just, you know, I mean, for me personally, I feel like I'm responsible for everything that's going on in my life. Like, the situation I'm in is because of the choices I didn't make, or the choices I did make, and they were wrong choices. And in hindsight, it's easier to see, like, oh, I could have done that. But when you're in the moment, it's really, really, really hard to to see that, like, that the fork in the road, sometimes it's not a two path situation. Sometimes it's a 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, path that you don't know what the right one is. And sometimes, you know, just standing still is a path, and it's better to go all out on something. And then if it fails, at least you tried, and now you learn. You know, that's all you can do from your mistakes, is just learn from your mistakes. And you know, the more opportunities you try and fail, the more chances you have to learn. If you never try anything, you're never going to learn that it doesn't work, and you can just be stuck as a man child, a coward, and scared to take any risk in life. And you just always want to take the safe option, and years down the line, you're gonna have regrets. And I don't want to live that way. I want to live free, like a pirate. I don't know, man, but you know, that's where I'm at right now. I'm gonna take another break here. I'm kind of, you know, exhausting this topic, but I don't know if you guys knew about this, but apparently the Beatles have released a new song. Yeah, what year are we in? 2023. Half the Beatles are dead, and they have a new song out there, guys. Yeah, apparently this song was created, you know, with the help of AI. I mean, I'm not entirely knowledgeable about everything about how this song came to be, but you know, I know some things. And apparently, this is part of this song is an old demo kind of workshop that John Lennon did back in the 70s. No, did he die? No, he died in the 80s, right? 1980. Yeah, in the 70s, this was like one of the piano solo things he was working on, and he never finished it, never released it. But then I guess, you know, the living Beatles are left, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, they added their own tracks to it, on their own taste and their own participation. And then also, you know, the late George Harrison, he had some solo guitar sessions that they just kind of, you know, intertwined into the song, and they came up, you know, they used AI to help create it, and it sounds good. It's a new song. It's called Now and Then by the Beatles. So let's hear it up.
1, 2. Because
All right, y'all, that is Now and Then by the Beatles. So, you know, even 60 years later, they're still making them hits. And, yeah, you know, like, and part of the reason why I love to include songs in these podcasts is because I want to expose so much good music out there. And music has always been a big part of my life. It's inspired me. And, you know, I'm a very analytical kind of guy. I appreciate symmetry. I appreciate aesthetics and beauty, and I just think music is one of the epitomes of peak creativity, of beauty in the universe. I mean, you know, they some say that math is the language of the universe, and I think math, music is, and math are tied in so well with each other. You know, patterns and I don't know, like, it's hard to articulate, but something about music speaks to the soul of me, and I mean, and to most people, honestly. You know, like, why has music been around for thousands and thousands of years? You know, not recorded music, you know, because only recently have we been able to record music and repeat it. But as far as music in general, it goes back to thousands of years ago. And no, something about it is speaks to the soul, and it inspires people. It inspires creativity, and, you know, for me personally. And one thing I want to touch up on, I've been thinking about a lot lately, is that my stubbornness of, you know, being hard to, I wouldn't say hard to convince, but, like, I'm pretty, I don't know how to put this. Like, it's hard for me to, like, change my mind on some things. And I don't know if it is a flaw or, you know, part of what helps me succeed. You know, I have, it could be like a childhood trauma of mine. I don't know. But I think that, especially when I was young, you know, the whole doubting me, and, like, I've had many, many, many experiences to where, like, I've lost count, and it has changed me, where I have believed something to be true, I've believed something to be correct, to be right, and I've been in the minority on that, and the majority believe something else, and I've stayed true to what I believe in, and then turns out I've been vindicated. I've been right, and everybody else has been wrong. And that's happened so many times, especially when it comes to, like, school and stuff. And, you know, my experience with that is that, you know, for example, I don't know, like, a math problem or a word problem or a riddle or a puzzle or whatever, and a teacher or somebody will, you know, ask for the answer, and then everybody says one thing, and I'm the one student or the one person that actually, you know, goes against the grain, goes against the majority, and thinks for myself. You know, I'm a free thinker, and I'm not easily swayed by the crowd of, you know, the majority of the consensus. Just because the majority of people believe one thing doesn't mean it's true. And I've been wanted to go, like I said, go against the grain, go against what everybody says, and says, actually, I think it's this. And I've been, you know, embarrassed before. I've been ashamed. I've been shamed. I've been made fun of. But then I've also been vindicated. I've also been the teacher. I've been praised, because they're like, yeah, Scott, you know, me, I'm the only one who got it right. Because, like I said, I'm not afraid to think for myself. And this has often gotten me in trouble, because people have called me arrogant, people have called me cocky. Sometimes people don't like when you think for yourself and you don't agree with them, and sometimes I've been right about things, sometimes I've thought things to be true, and it's just hard to articulate why I believe it's right. It's just, sometimes, you know, I have intuition. And as some of you who have listened to the podcast for a while know, I did an episode way back in the day about my IQ test, and I have a pretty high IQ. And I'm not saying that to brag. I really hate bragging and things like that. I don't like to bring a lot of attention myself when it comes to that. And in the past, like, especially when it comes to like a new school year. I try to hide the fact that I'm smart. I don't like that attention because, I don't know, it's, I've been bullied. I've been, you know, seen as the nerd, the geek and all that stuff. And I don't like that. I like to be the quiet, smart one. And I just want, I focus on my own growth and just, I care about the truth. I care about what's correct. I care about what's right and not what people perceive me as. I mean, I care, you know, like anybody, I care how people perceive me. I care, you know, but I don't want people to feel less than, you know, that I hate that. I would hate to make someone feel that way because, and I've mentioned this before in the past, but I don't like that whole idea of like just someone is better just because they're better at one aspect of life. You know, I'm not the best athlete. I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the best leader. You know, like there's a lot of things I'm not good at. Lots of things I'm not good at. But there is some things that I'm really fucking good at, like super, super good at. And just because I'm super good at some things doesn't mean I'm better than anybody. And I really genuinely don't believe that. So I don't want to make people feel less than. And I try to explain and try to help people understand it. And unfortunately, a part of society, you know, there are some things where people value other aspects of life over others. You know, some people really like the way we've structured society lately, you know, when it comes to school and your grades and education is like way up there on the priority list. And I just happen to be really good at that. And I can game the system, you know, I'm a good test taker, I'm, you know, good rational thinker, but I don't think that's all there is to life. You know, there's, you know, it's also about people have to be social creatures, and I'm, you know, I'm not entirely the best social creature. I'm, you know, I don't have a lot of friends, I don't, you know, I can, I don't know, just, but, you know, just like I was saying that, you know, I've gotten myself into trouble because I don't, because I go against what, you know, some people believe, and it could be unconventional, but I don't want to change that part about me because it has brought me a lot of good in my life, and I've been vindicated, and I care more about the truth than being right. And so I'm okay with being wrong, but you got to explain it to me. You got to help me understand. That's just my caveat. Like, if you're going to tell me I'm wrong, please tell me why I'm wrong. And then we can have a debate, because I'm going to be putting up my arguments and you better put up your arguments, and they better be convincing, because I don't like being bullied into believing certain things. I don't like being bullied into, you know, I'm stubborn. I'm a stubborn motherfucker when it comes to, you know, what I believe. And I believe the things I believe for a reason, because I've thoroughly thought them through and I've tested them against myself. And I'm always open to talking with somebody. And sometimes people don't like to defend their positions. And that's a problem. And, you know, I try, and, you know, the whole subject, topic, main idea of this podcast is just being nice. And so I am nice. I don't want to shame people. I don't want to make people feel that they're dumb or whatever. Like, and there's this word, you know, ignorance, that people have a negative connotation to. And maybe I'm just not using the right word. I don't know. But I've described people as ignorant before. I've described myself as ignorant before, but when, for some reason, when people hear you describe them as ignorant, they take that offensively. And I personally don't see it as offense. Because it just, to me, it just means that you're just not aware. Maybe, like I said, maybe I'm not using the right word. I don't know, but there's a word that to me just means that you just didn't know. And, you know, I was listening to a YouTube video today about Socrates, and Socrates is one of my heroes in life. You know, and what was it? It was something about someone who is wise knows he does not know, or something like that. I don't know. But you know, something along those lines, that the key to wisdom is knowing that you know nothing. And, you know, that's, And sometimes, and there's, it's impossible to know everything about everything. And so we're all ignorant. We are all ignorant about something. So I also believe that every person you meet in the world, you can learn something from, because they have life experience that you don't. I have life experience you don't. And so there's some things that I know and that you don't, and some things you know that I don't. And to me, that lack of knowledge just means that, that's what I describe as ignorant. Like, you just, I don't know, maybe ignorant just means that you're, you don't want to know. I don't know, but help me find the right words so I can stop offending people. But sometimes when people don't know about things, I'm like, oh, you're just ignorant about that. And that's okay. And I don't try to make people feel bad. I'm just like, that's fine. It's okay to be ignorant, because no, it's not your fault that nobody taught you this. Nobody told you, nobody gave you the knowledge. Like, how can you know something you didn't know? And so, but once somebody did tell you, then now you can't, claim ignorance. Then that's being willfully ignorant. I think there's a big difference between willfully ignorant and just ignorant. But I'm all for teaching the ignorant. Like, oh, you didn't know? Oh, here, let me give you the tools to know. Like, now you know. And then it's a good thing. I love teaching. I love, exposing people to new things, to new knowledge. And it's like, okay, I feel like I'm enhancing your life a little bit, and you can enhance my life a little bit. I didn't know about some things, and I'm perfectly okay with saying, oh, I didn't know about that. Please tell me more. Like, that's cool. Oh, I was ignorant of that. Now I'm not. Oh, that's awesome. Like, it's a benefit for me. In a way, being ignorant is a good thing, because that just means that you have so much more to learn and so much more growth. And growth is a good thing in my eyes. So, that's that. But, I'm kind of running at the end of the rope here of like topics to talk about. And, we'll take one last break, but I just want to finish off with a few things on how, like, I keep my mind sharp and how I like to, and I'm a gamer at heart, and I like to play games. And so, like, tying in games to sharpen my mind is something I love to do. And I'm going to speak about that a little bit after this break. But we're going to take a last break here. It's called Separate Ways, Worlds Apart by Journey. Tell me why I didn't know about this song. I love Journey, like, just a small town girl. That whole song, there's another song. I don't know. I love a couple of Journey songs, but this song just slipped through the cracks. I was ignorant of this song, and now that I'm not, so I feel like my life is better for it. But now you may have been ignorant of it, and now your life is better for it. So here we go. Separate Ways by Journey. Alright, y'all, that is Separate Ways by Journey. Tell me that song don't go hard, man. That beginning piano, you know, that synthesizer, man. Sheesh, that thing it goes hard. Anyway, you know, one thing, you know, just a little branch off of that. You know, I do try to practice piano. I got a little keyboard at home, a little synthesizer keyboard. It plays all different kinds of sounds and stuff. And I try to learn songs that I love, you know, usually video game songs or, you know, anime songs, you know, like One Piece opening piano riffs or like Pokemon songs too, or game songs. So, you know, I might try to learn that little riff at the beginning of the synthesizer, but yeah, you know, I try to keep my brain sharp by, you know, playing strategy games. You know, lately I've been really super, super into chess. Little quick backstory, I used to be part of a chess club back in elementary school, and you know, looking back now, that's pretty young. You know, I was only like 7 years old and I started playing chess, and you know, I was pretty good. But you know, I'm a smart guy. I'm really good at, you know, logic puzzles in general and strategy games. And you know, I've played as some of you or, you know, listen to the podcast know, I'm a big Pokemon competitive player. And Pokemon is, you know, when it comes to battles, it's just strategy, you know, like, and it's a multifactorial strategy game. And I just love that. It's so fun for me. It's just, you know, it's also piques my creativity, and you can learn different tactics. And especially when it comes to Pokemon, you can do gimmicks, and it's just fun, you know, like certain Pokemon, you know, you can try to make certain Pokemon work, even though they might be not as strong. They might have like one good move that can turn the tide of the whole game and stuff like that. So, I play Pokemon. And lately, like I said, I've been into chess because, you know, for the after-school program, I may have spoke on this a couple podcasts ago, but one of my coworkers, you know, one of my staff, they started playing some chess. And they're playing the students, and they started asking us, you know, you guys want to play some chess? And I'm like, damn, I haven't played chess in over a decade. I haven't played in a long, 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 long time. But mostly because I just don't have, like, any worthy opponents, you know. Like, nobody I know really plays chess or wants to play chess. And I just don't carry around a chess board, you know what I'm saying? Like, my wife, girlfriend, you know, we'll just say wife, doesn't play. I try teaching my daughter, but you know, she's a kid. I'm just gonna smoke her every time, and it's not really much of a challenge. But these guys over at my work, like, you know, they've been challenging me and has sparked the fire under me. And there's apps now. You know, back in my day when I, you know, was part of the chess club, we didn't have apps. We didn't have computers. Well, I mean, there was computers, but I didn't use computers. There was nothing to help us with that. It's just, you know, just good old fashioned teaching, you know, from a teacher can teach you strategy and things like that. And just learning how the pieces move, and then, you know, just certain tactics. But now, you know, there's a chess app that gives you puzzles, daily puzzles that I can work on. And it's just about, you know, mostly it's about memorizing or just vision. You know, part about chess is vision, seeing things and looking forward in the future and planning ahead. And, you know, I'm pretty good at that. And so lately I think I'm on like an 8-game winning streak over at my job. Nobody can beat me now. not to brag a little, but you know, I did lose a couple times. You know, they were, like I said, I was super rusty. I hadn't played in over 10, 20 years. And, they had played, you know, more recently than I had. So I lost a few games in the beginning, but I got mine back. And ever since then, I've beaten everybody there like twice over at least, in a row, and I haven't lost, and I can't remember. But, you know, that's a thing that keeps my mind sharp. And, just a little fun fact, like my worst fears is losing my mind. You know, I don't want to get like Alzheimer's. I don't want to, like be lost mentally. I don't want to get dementia and things like that. And part of keeping that is keeping my mind sharp and just strategy games, you know, doing crossword puzzles. And I used to do Sudoku puzzles and stuff like that. And just, So I'm gonna continue doing that till the day I die. And you know, playing video games is another one of those things that keeps my mind good. And you know, I like to do whenever I get the chance, I want to keep playing Dungeons and Dragons. That's a fun game to play, especially that's more of a social game, and that's part of my life that is highly lacking. I'm a little ashamed to admit, but I don't have much of a social life. It's just my wife, my kid, and, my jobs. That's pretty much it. I don't even talk to my coworkers outside of work. So, it does get a little lonely. That's why, I got this podcast just speaking out to the ether. You guys, none of you guys hit me back up. So, as far as I know, I ain't got no listeners. But, I'm not going to be down on myself about it. Just keep on keeping on. And I have burned some bridges in the past. And I feel terrible. I have made a lot of mistakes when it comes to my relationships. Just kind of ghosted people. But, I don't want to make an excuse for it, but life is life. I'm fucking 31, and I have a wife and a kid, and I got two jobs, and they tell you this when you're young, they tell you this when you're in high school, but when you get older, you're gonna, 90% of the friends you have in school are gonna go. You're not gonna be talking to them anymore, and it's a sad truth to life. And it does make me sad thinking about all the friends I've had. And that to me, they're still friends. And this is another thing where I've been I don't know what the word is, not shamed, but but I still consider some people friends, even though we haven't talked in forever. I just feel like if I have never had a fallout with somebody, they're still my friend. I still revere some people with high regard. I kind of take on the Luffy approach in One Piece. One Piece, the main character Luffy, he has, he considers anybody he meets one time, he has a good interaction with, that they're lifelong friends. And even though they haven't seen each other in forever, he just thinks that if he sees them again one day, that they're gonna stay friends. And one of the, the biggest moments for me personally that impacted me the most is the end of the Alabasta arc. And that's why one day I want to get the tattoo of the X on my forearm. But just a little brief description, brief background to it, so you guys can understand where I'm coming from. The Straw Hat crew and then the pirate crew, the main characters, they're on their journey going island to island, just trying to find the One Piece, and they're just meeting people all the time, tearing down tyrannical governments and all that stuff. And sometimes they meet amazing people, sometimes they meet some baddies. Well, on one of the islands, they met this girl, this lady. She's young, I think she's 17 16 17 18, I don't know. She's a princess. Her name's Vivi, Princess Vivi. And she had asked them for their help to help free her country from a tyrannical shady guy who's kind of working in the shadows, trying to bring about civil war to her country. And she traveled with the Straw Hats for many, many weeks and months, and went from island to island. And they created a bond together. And with that, in their eyes, she's a nakama. She's a friend. She's part of the crew. She's a crewmate. She's part of the found family. And so they took her in, and they're friends. They look after each other and all that. And once they finally did get to her country and they helped her out and they did everything, she decided not to go with them out to sea as part of the crew. She wanted to stay back at her country, and she wanted to help rule the country. She's the princess after all, so she's got to stay there and be there for her citizens of her country. That's where her true loyalty lies. But she still feels a loyalty to the crew, our main characters. And and the issue with the story is that our main characters, the Straw Hats, they're pirates. And in the world of One Piece, pirates are just automatically criminals. They're automatically the bad guys. So the world government, the marines, the army, all the quote-unquote good guys, all the people who are supposed to be good, just deem every pirate a criminal. And so if you associate with any pirates, you are also a criminal. So the fact that this princess, Vivi, made where we're buddy buddies with the pirates is a no-go in their world. And so she kind of has to disavow them, or you know, like not associate that with them anymore. And then just a little backstory about that whole ex is that there's a character, there was an enemy that they were facing, that one of his powers, he has a devil fruit power that he could shapeshift into any other person that he has come into contact with. So he touches them and he can change his face. He's like a chameleon, a doppelganger kind of character, and he can disguise himself as other people. And so the crew, you know, trying to mitigate this, they drew X's on their arms, and so they knew who was actually true and not the good doppelganger, because the doppelganger wouldn't have the X on their forearm. And so that was just a way for them to distinguish each other from like real friends versus the fake friends. And so it was like a symbol of their friendship. That's what they said. This is a symbol of our friendship. And so, you know, if we ever need to test each other, we just show each other the X, and we're like, okay, you're who you say you are. So fast forward, you know, to the end of the arc, when Princess Vivi has to stay behind. She feels terrible. She feels sad that the crew has to leave, and they're waiting for her. They're going to take her out to sea with them. And she can't let the government know. She can't let anybody know that they're friends. Because if she did, then she'd be a criminal. And so, you know, she's trying to speak to them. And it's weird. She's kind of speaking in code in a way. She's talking to them, but without anybody realizing she's talking to them. They just think she's just talking in general, but her message is to the crew. And she's sad because she feels like that she thinks that they think she's abandoning them, and she doesn't want them to think that she was a fake friend, and that she really does value their friendship, and that she hopes that one day in the future, when they do meet again, that they can meet as friends. And so, you know, she's crying because she feels bad that she has to stay behind, and she doesn't want to lose them as friends. But the crew, you know, like, they can't acknowledge her, because if they acknowledge that, you know, they're friends, then she'll get in trouble. So what they do instead, they just hold up their arms, showing the X on their forearms to display their symbol of friendship. And so, you know, that's just the backstory of that. So that was a very impactful moment for me and a lot of One Piece fans. But that's kind of how I, to bring it full circle, that's kind of how I deem, you know, my friends. Like, just because we are not in contact doesn't mean I'm not your friend anymore. Like, you know, best friends I've had years and years ago, you know, like one of my best friends in the past, Alex, I haven't talked to him in over 10 years, but I just know that if I were to ever run into him, to me, it'd feel like it was just yesterday that we were hanging out. There's a lot of people in my life are like that, but I don't talk to them anymore. And it's kind of hard to see, you know, I'm friends with people on social media. We don't talk, but I see their posts. I like the posts and stuff like that. I watch their stories on Instagram and things like that. And it's just, you know, it does hurt sometimes to see my friends hanging out with each other without me. You know, I don't get invited to things anymore. People don't reach out to me anymore. And it's hard for me not to believe that they, you know, the negative part of me, the low self-esteem part of me, the negative self-talk part of me, it does creep in sometime and you know, puts myself down and can make me believe things that may not be true. And I try not to make assumptions, but sometimes I believe that they don't like me anymore, that they've disavowed me. I haven't ever gotten, you know, that reassurance that they're still friends with me. But like I said, I just try to give the benefit of doubt, because I'm the same way. Like, I, you know, if we were to ever hang out again, I still like people, I still hang out with people, I still want the best, I want the best lives for my friends. Even though we don't talk anymore, we don't hang out anymore, and there's just honestly just nobody left. And I don't mean to be, and I'm having a little bit of self-awareness moment right here. I'm not trying to be all Debbie Downer here and sad and shit, but it's just, I'm just being vulnerable and open, and it's just a natural flow of my thoughts at the moment. But, you know, it does get me down a little bit, but I'm hopeful for the future. I can make more friends in the future, and some of my coworkers now can end up being lifelong friends. Who knows? I don't know, but it does. I'm just at a point in my life right now where I'm just, you know, I'm grinding. I don't have a lot of time for friends, and it's unfortunate, and maybe that's a mistake. But I do hope that one day I'm able to, you know, just hang out with some friends on the weekends. I mean, I do have some friends, you know, Daniela, Carlos, you know, Efren, Michelle, and, you know, Nicholas a little bit, but all that stuff, but, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, I just, you know, I don't want this podcast to go too long. I'm trying to make this a nice podcast, and just, I guess my final message is to just, you know, have a positive outlook on life, be nice to people, spread love. Love is the antidote to hate. And I'm very hopeful. I'm optimistic, and I hope you are too. And I think if everybody kind of went about life this way, that there would be less fighting in the world. Maybe not perfect. I don't think a world can be perfect, because we all make mistakes. We all have folly, and you know, we have blind spots, and we're ignorant of some things. But if we could just give each other the benefit of the doubt and see each other as brothers, sisters, and all children of God, and we're all part of the same universe. We're all human beings. We all are organic living humans. We're all animals. You know, we're all made from the same material, just carbon and nitrogen and oxygen and phosphorus and calcium and all the freaking elements. We're all made of the same shit. You know, like we're siblings, and you know, of life. And I don't hate anybody. So I hope you don't. And it makes me sad seeing all the hate in the world, especially, you know, with everything that's going on with Palestine and Israel and Ukraine, Russia, and, you know, China, and all these different nations, and this tribalism, and the divide and conquer tactics of just pitting people against each other so that people can gain control. And it's just all out of fear, because people are scared. People are scared of losing things. They don't want to suffer, and so they see other people as the source of their suffering. And it's just all this big soup of misunderstanding. And I'm just gonna try my best not to, you know, play my part in that suffering. I'm trying to, you know, go against that, you know, to bring it full circle. I'm going against the grain. And even if people tell me I should hate some people, I'm not going to. Even if some people say I shouldn't thank some people, I'm still gonna thank people for being vulnerable with me, no matter who you are. Like, even if you're the worst person, and but if someone feels comfortable enough to be vulnerable with me, if someone feels that, you know, they can trust me with some information, like, I feel gratitude. I feel grateful that, like, I feel special, like, just as just a human to human kind of situation. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that anybody would give me the time of the day to trust me with some sort of information, with their vulnerable side, even though I may make mistakes, even though I may make people regret being vulnerable with me. I don't mean to. I'm sorry in retrospect. I'm sorry in advance to anybody who I have hurt, or anybody who I will hurt in the future. I don't mean to. I'm just stumbling through life and trying my best to love the people that I love. And that's where I'm going to end this off, you guys. And hope you guys have a good one. I'm going to end this with one of my favorite songs, favorite sound bites, I guess you can say, is the Little Root Town from Pokemon. This is a big part of my childhood. It just brings peace to me, and I hope it brings peace to you. So until next time, everybody, remember, you know, this is the Baker Turtles podcast signing off. Please subscribe so you can hear more episodes from me. And until next time, peace out. Peace and love. Spread it.